We're going to be thinking about, can we find peace in a chaotic world? And Sam's already said in his prayers, I'm going to just stick those photos up. The news at the moment has just been mad, hasn't it? It's been really terrible. So, like, it started a few weeks ago with all the election and, like, the chaos about that. And loads of people were kicking off about the new government and what's been going on there. And it feels really chaotic. And then there was the Manchester attacks. And then the attack in London as well, which caused all the army to be on the streets. And then the horrible thing that happened in Grantham Tower this week is people were just burnt alive. And if you're like me, you look at all that news and you just think, it just feels like chaos. And it might not, for you, it might not even be like chaos out there. You might, in your own life, know that kind of life just feels chaotic, feels scary. So maybe your benefits have changed and your money's been stopped and you don't know how you're going to get things together. Maybe on Father's Day you think, there isn't a father for my kids, or I've lost my dad. Just feels alone. Maybe there's been a sudden death in the family and it's just ripped your family apart. Whatever it might be, I think a lot of us feel like either our personal world or the world around us is chaos. And we're stuck in the middle of it and we feel really fragile. So I think it's a great question to think about. Can we find peace in the middle of a chaotic world? Because the grim reality is that our lives are fragile. And this morning we're going to see a simple but amazing truth, which means each of us can find peace in the middle of a chaotic world. It's a truth that's changed all sorts of lives all around the world throughout time. Here's one guy, I've mentioned him before in church. His name is Horatio Spafford, and he wrote the song that we sang earlier on. Now, Horatio Spafford was a rich guy in America, and he invested loads of money in property, and then there was a great fire, and it all burnt down. And then his son died as well, and it was just quite tragic. So he said to his wife, he had a wife and daughters, let's go on a holiday, let's go and have a rest. So they booked some tickets, and they were going to come over to England. And he put his wife and kids on the boat, and just as he was about to get on, something came up with work that he had to see to. So he had to go off and do some work, and they went on the holiday early. Well, he was working away, and the next day he heard that their boat had sank. And then he got a telegram from his wife saying, saved alone. So he went and jumped onto the next boat, and as he was sailing over to England to see his wife, his daughters were dead. He wrote this song. This is a song that he wrote as he was going through the sea where his kids died. See the words? When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. Do you see what this grieving guy is saying? Life feels like waves are crashing on me. It feels like the waves that killed my children are crashing on me. But I have peace. Life is chaos, but I have peace. And millions of Christians have been able to sing this song through the storms of their life. Maybe they've lost a loved one. They've suffered a major injustice. They've been stuck in the middle of a loveless marriage. Their lives have been in real danger. But they've known refreshing peace. Why? Why can Christians find peace in the midst of chaos? How are they able to face tragedy with hope? How can they find calmness in the midst of chaos? Well, the answer is simply Jesus. Jesus is the reason. It's nothing to do with Christians. It's all about Jesus. So we're going to look at these words of Jesus. So look with me at John chapter 10 on page 1076. So these words were written by one of Jesus' best mates, John. They're what Jesus actually said. Now you might already have some ideas about Jesus. And you might have kind of written Jesus off and think he's not for me. Can I just encourage you this morning, take those ideas, put them in an imaginary box, and just put your prejudices away for 20 minutes and have a look at what Jesus actually said. Okay? So look at John chapter 10. We're going to see that Jesus is different from any other leader we know. Because Jesus cares for fragile people. Jesus cares for fragile people. Then in verse 11, Jesus says this, he is the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. I reckon when a lot of us think about authority, we might feel threatened. Maybe you've had bad experiences of people in authority. Maybe you've been abused or taken advantage of. Maybe you just watch the news and you see how lots of leaders seem to use their power to benefit themselves. The leaders are the ones with the nice cars and the fireproof houses. They're the ones who have easy lives. When you think about leaders, you might think, leaders are people who ruin my life for their benefit. But you see, Jesus turns that idea completely on its head. He doesn't ruin your life for his benefit. He lays down his life for your benefit. I don't know what you think about God. Maybe you think if there is a God, maybe he's like a distant granddad in the sky, or he's some sort of self-righteous prude who wants us all to behave. But you see, in Jesus, Jesus is God in skin. He comes to lay down his life. He's like some sort of crazy shepherd. He serves his sheep. He's willing to serve you. And do you spot why there? In verse 12 and 13, Jesus serves his people because he cares for them. See that in verse 13? Jesus says, I'm not on agency work. He's not the type of person who just isn't really that bothered about his job and just clocks off as soon as he can. He's not like a hired hand who runs off when the wolves come. Jesus says, I won't run away from my people when life gets tough. I will not give up on them. I will not let them down. The hired hand cares nothing for the sheep. But Jesus is not a hired hand. He's not even a permanent member of staff. Jesus is the owner of the flock. Jesus is the owner of the flock. And so that means that his life is bound to them. So if a sheep is lost, then the owner loses out as well. Jesus says, I'm the owner of the flock and I care about my people. So Christian, just think for a minute. Jesus, God, cares about you. In the midst of the chaos of your life, there is a God in heaven and he cares about you. He's not like any other authority figure that we know. He doesn't ruin our lives to make himself rich. He doesn't run away when life gets tough. He's not like some leaders who aren't that bothered about you. You might not believe it, but the claim of Christianity is that God cares. And he's intimately connected to his people. He's an anchor in the storms of life. We all want that, don't we? When the storms of life come, we want someone who will stick by us. I was chatting to a friend this week, and his wife has recently got cancer, and she's just started going through chemo. And it was just great talking to him. He wasn't bragging or anything, but I just thought, he is a great husband. So they've been married for 46 years, but he was saying, look, I've said to her, look, listen, girl, I'm not going to leave you. If you're going to hospital, I am going with you. And then there was a knock at the door, and she was like, oh, you go and get it. And he said, I know, I said to her, you need to get up, and you need to do it. You can't stop your life. You need to keep on going. I'll be stood right behind you, girl. I've got your back. I won't leave you. I am right there with you. And it's really clear that for her, that is helping her through it. Having someone stood at her side who cares for her helps her through. I think loads of us around here think that God isn't bothered about us. He doesn't care. But remember Horatio Spafford. He knew God cares. Jesus is this good shepherd. Horatio lost almost everything. It would have been so easy for him to shrivel up and be bitter or just become really fearful and distressed. But he was convinced in the midst of the chaos, the God of the universe cared about him. Jesus wasn't going to run away. He wasn't going to bail on him. Jesus cares for fragile people. And I could tell you about loads of friends who've made it through all sorts of chaos, whether that be addiction or family breakdown, problems with social services, money problems, mental health issues, grief, cancer. And each one of them would have said, knowing that Jesus is my good shepherd has helped me to rub hope into my pain. The chaos was real. but I had an anchor. I had someone better than the best husband, someone who would never leave or forsake me. I had the good shepherd caring for me. They knew that they were loved by God. And so the question for you this morning is, do you know Jesus as your good shepherd? Is he leading and directing your life? If so, Jesus promises he cares about you and he'll never leave you. Now, I know it's very warm and it's difficult to listen and sit and listen for a long time. So turn to the person next to you and answer this question. If you could be an animal, what would you be? Turn to the person next to you very quickly. We've got sort of 20 seconds. Turn to the person next to you. If you were an animal, what would you be? Go, go, go. Okay, let's hear it. Let's hear a few. What animals have we got in the room? Who's going to be willing to shout out? We've got
lobster.
A lobster. Got a few of them here today. What else? If you could be any animal?
Lion.
A lion.
Chimpanzee.
A chimpanzee. And an elephant. Okay, yeah. Hands up anyone who said sheep. No one went for sheep. To be a sheep is a pretty weak and feeble effort, isn't it? If we were to choose an animal, we wouldn't like to say, "Oh, I'm a sheep." It's a bit of an insult, isn't it? You say that there are sheep over there. It's because sheep just follow along with the crowd, and they're stupid, and they need constant care, and they're really fragile. Well, the Bible is not very flattering about us, but it's honest. We might pretend to be lions or elephants, but we're all sheep. We're fragile people living in a chaotic world. But Jesus is the good shepherd. He will care for and protect his sheep. So you might know those words of Psalm 23, "The Lord's my shepherd, I shall not be in want." But Jesus comes along and says, "That's me. I am God, and I care for my people. I'm the good shepherd. I won't leave weak and fragile people. I'll never be too busy for them. I'll never be too annoying." Do you notice in verse 14, Jesus claims to be offering even more, though, in verse 14. He claims to be offering a two-way relationship. You can put it on that verse on the screen. So he says, "I know my sheep, and my sheep know me." So when I chat to people on Brett Road, one of the biggest issues people have with authority is that they think they don't know me, they don't get me, they don't understand my struggles. They don't get me. Or it might be with some people, they'll say, "You know what, I just don't understand them. I don't get them. I don't get what they're doing, so I don't trust them." There's a sense that they don't know me and I don't know them, so I won't trust them. But another amazing claim of Christianity, see that verse 14, is that you can actually have a living relationship of trust with the God who made you. Jesus isn't just some far-off leader who doesn't care about you, who doesn't understand your struggles. He gets you. He knows you inside out and upside down. He knows what you're thinking now. The best farmers are the ones that, when you go to their farms, they can take you around the farm and say, "Oh, look, there's Daisy, and that's you, and watch out for Bruno over there." They know all their sheep. They know all their animals. Well, Jesus is the good shepherd, and he knows each one of us individually. He knows me completely. And you see, if I trust him, I can know him. He's not some leader who's hidden far away, unknowable. You can know him. God is offering you a real relationship. And that's what we're actually made for. It's what we're hardwired for. We're made to know and enjoy God forever. We're made for a relationship with God. Now, probably got Stephen's favourite film on here, I'm sure. Hands up if you're a rom-com fan. One or two. Now, rom-coms kind of just completely buy in to the fact that we're hardwired for a relationship of love, for someone who can be our protector. So in all of these films, I'm kind of forced to watch them. Well, yeah, forced to watch them. So one of the two I actually quite like, to be honest. But the reason that they connect with people is that they sell us this lie that someone, a tall, dark stranger, can come into your life, into your chaos, and they'll come along, and you'll be bound to them, you'll know them, you'll have a relationship, and you'll live happily ever after. And that is just really a pale reflection of what Jesus does. Jesus does something much better. We live in chaos. He comes along and says, I offer you a relationship that will bring you peace in the midst of chaos. He's better than Hugh Grant or any of those tall, dark strangers. He's someone who cares and someone who's able to change. Now, you might be thinking there, well, okay, Christianity is just for girls then. So, not for me. I'm not really a rom-com kind of man. I'm more like the next ones on the screen. I'm more into action movies. I'm kind of like into Die Hard, Steven Seagal. Yeah, that's me. That's what I'm like. Independence Day. But if you love action movies, you love the idea that there is one strong man with great courage who can save the whole world. If you watch those films, you want to be Bruce Willis. You want to be Steven Seagal. You want to be Iron Man. Think about what we've seen so far. Jesus serves his people. He cares for them. He knows them intimately and they know him. Jesus cares for fragile people, but he's not a soppy romantic. He is a hero. Look at verse 17. This is how Jesus uses his power and authority and strength. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. How does God use his power? Jesus lays down his life. He willingly dies for his sheep. Nobody forces him to do it. He lays it down of his own accord. Jesus uses his power to serve and to save people. And that is just so backwards. Because Islam says that God wants you to submit to him and keep all the rules. And most people think that if there is a God, then he wants you to serve him and to be a good boy or girl. Then maybe he might accept you. Jesus says, I know you're a sheep. The only way for you to be saved is if I die for you. God is not saying, you serve me. He's saying, let me serve you. Now you might be sat there asking, why on earth do I need God to serve me? Why does Jesus think he needs to lay down his life? That's a good question. Look back at verse 11 and 12. It's clear in those verses that the good shepherd will not run away when his flock are in danger. If a wolf comes, he's going to fight it off. Jesus is the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. Jesus dies because he knows that we're in danger. He knows we need rescuing from danger. He knows that unless he rescues us, we will face an eternity of pain and fear and isolation. And like any hero, he steps in. He sees the problem and he rips off his shirt and he gets his hands dirty. Like any good shepherd, he can see the danger before the sheep do. Because think about it, sheep are just there eating the grass, doing whatever they're doing, bumping into each other. They can't see things far off in the distance. But the shepherd is taller and he can see that they are in grave danger. Our world might feel chaotic. It might feel scary. That's just the presenting issue. The problem is much deeper and Jesus can see it from far off. And what is that danger? Well, it's God's judgment. We live in God's world, rejecting him. We're rebels against God. We basically give God the V's. We spit in his face. We don't listen to him. We're all sinners against him. Each one of us deserves his judgment. We deserve death and hell. But do you see what God is like? He loves his people So he steps in. He says, let me die for you. He's like the ultimate hero. He lays down his life. He takes the bullet. He rescues. He saves. Do you get what's going on the cross? We sin against God, and so we deserve God's judgment of death and hell. But on the cross, God steps in, and he swaps places with us. Jesus dies instead of his people. He takes the punishment they deserve. We sang what Horatio wrote. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Jesus has died to deal with sin in my life. Jesus offers to die to set us free, even though we're his enemies. The God of the Bible is an amazing God of amazing grace and love. He's offering you the chance to escape what you deserve. And do you notice who Jesus is a shepherd to? It could be last slide, show, verse 16. Jesus says he's not just the leader of... verse 16 and 17, if you can find them somewhere. Jesus says he's not just the leader of some kind of special group, a little group of people in Israel. What did he say? He's not for, I don't know, all middle-class sorted people. He's not for self-righteous grannies. Look, who are his people in verse 16? His people are sheep who listen to him. They're people who realise they're not lions, they're sheep. They sense that they're fragile, and they listen to Jesus. So when he tells them to repent and believe the gospel, that's what they do. See, Jesus is a good shepherd, but he's not everybody's shepherd. He's a shepherd to those people who listen to him, who respond to him in faith. So we started off thinking about how our world is in chaos. And if you're anything like me, you will have realised this year that your life is a lot more fragile than you pretend. How should we respond to that? That sense of knowing that our life is fragile. Well, Ariana Grande, she put on a great music concert, didn't she? And encouraged us all to love one another. Loads of people are saying that we should unite together and do something positive. Some people are saying that we should take a stand against those in authority that are oppressing us. Now, they are all good things to do. But Jesus is calling each one of us to do something more important. Something bigger. Something that will bring lasting peace into the chaos of our lives. He's calling you, verse 16, to join his great big flock. See, Jesus is uniting all sorts of different people together to unity. And this morning, he's calling you. He's calling you to stop wandering off and being in danger, to come and be part of his flock and know him as the Good Shepherd. Come and know the peace that the God of heaven cares about you. He knows you. You can know him. Come and know the God who uses his power to serve and to save. Come and know the Lord Jesus as your Good Shepherd, who is creating one flock united together, who one day will enjoy his good rule perfectly forever.